Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. This is Nina Atwood, your host. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. If you've been here before, I'm so glad to have you back. On this show, does online dating result in a better marriage? Well, for the first time, a new study reveals that online dating is no longer that ridiculous tool for losers and misfits. It is now a viable way to truly find a soulmate and create a lasting marriage. We're going to look at the latest findings about online dating, the good, the not so good, and the great. We're also going to tackle questions. I have listeners who are writing in to me and calling in with questions. If you have something that you want answered today, be sure and call in using that number right there on your dashboard, 347-308-8511. And if you're not calling in for yourself, listen up, because who knows, maybe you'll see yourself in someone else's story. Well, around one-third of American marriages now begin online. That is astounding. And those marriages are less likely to break down and are associated with a little bit higher marital satisfaction rates than those of couples who met offline, according to a new study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Well, here are the latest stats from this very large study that was conducted over a 7-year period of time. Of the couples who got together online, 5.9% broke up versus 7.6% of those who met offline. That's what the study found. Also, and by the way, they surveyed over 19,000 couples who met online and got married. And of those, only around 7% were either separated or divorced by the end of the study. Now, granted, it was only over a 7-year period between 2005 and 2012, but keep in mind that the overall divorce rate in this country is between 40 and 50%. So we don't know what it looks like over a long period of time. You know, we've only really been using online dating at this level for the last 7 to 10 years. So we still have a long way to go to really see what the data is long term, but short term, over the last 7 years, it's looking really good. People who reported meeting their spouse online tended to be between the ages of 30 and 49 and of a higher income bracket than those who met their spouses offline. That's according to this survey again. But of the ones who did not meet online, 22% met through work, 19% through friends, 9% at a bar or club, and only 4% at church. So, interestingly, of the people who are dating offline, it's mostly through work. It's a lot through friends still. So we're still saying about 40% of couples who meet offline meet through work or friends, only about 9% at bars and clubs, but only 4% at church. I found that part rather surprising. I would think more people would be meeting at church, but apparently that is not a great hunting ground for a relationship when you're single. So what is all of this research telling us? Well, I think it's telling us a lot. We just have to pay attention to see what it is. So first, we're learning from this research that record numbers of couples who later marry are meeting online. It's now up to 30%. That's huge, and it's far more than anyone realized. The last statistics before this study told us that 20% of people were meeting online, one out of five. Now it's 30%. We're getting very close to one out of three couples who marry are meeting online. So you can't ignore that. I mean, my goodness, that is really telling us that online dating is huge, is becoming a huge influencer in how people meet and marry. I mean, this is way beyond anything that we thought was going to be happening. But the other thing that this research tells us is that marriages between people who meet online are doing better on average than those between people who meet offline. Now, granted, it's not by a huge number, but it's astounding that it is equal or better, and the fact is it's a little bit better. So the bottom line is that the odds are now far more in your favor of forming a lasting marriage if you meet your future spouse online. I mean, this is really groundbreaking. You might be wondering, well, why is that? Why is it that it's better to meet your future spouse online? Why would that increase your odds? Well, here's some ideas that I have based on my work as a singles coach and based on all the years that I've spent with people around these issues. Here's why I think the odds are in your favor when you date online. Number one, when you know your potential partner better, it helps you make a better choice. If you choose one of those websites that does personality testing, one of the biggest ones, of course, is eHarmony, or if you choose a site that requires extensive question answering, in other words, they survey people very carefully, they make you answer a lot of questions about yourself, like Match.com. The bottom line is you're going to know more about someone before you date them. Now, can people fudge a little? Yeah, they can. That some people, of course, lie a lot. But what you have to realize is that personality tests have fail-safe questions that really inhibit your ability to fake. I mean, they're designed to get around the fact that some people are going to try to fake it. With surveys, general surveys, where you're just answering questions about your life and yourself, you can fudge a lot more. But the bottom line is that it's kind of hard to get away with it the way some of these things are designed and the algorithms that are used. I mean, these people spend millions of dollars coming up with these questionnaires and these personality surveys, so they're putting a lot of expertise behind them because they want it to be, they don't want it to be easy for you to fake it and ruin the whole thing. So that is why it's kind of tough for people to really completely fake someone else out. And so you're going to know more about someone. And knowledge is power. When you marry someone that you know really well and that you can accept for who he or she is and who he or she is not, you are far more likely to stay married and be happier over time. Some of the more recent studies that I've seen have shown that the more quickly people marry, the less they know one another, the less they are clear about their compatibility, and the more likely they are to get divorced. So the bottom line is if you want a great marriage, you know, the first thing is know thyself. You know, really take the time to be introspective and to know yourself well. And secondly, know others well before you get romantic with them. Don't get romantic immediately, because once you do, your brain shuts off. You quit assessing, you quit listening, you quit paying attention. You don't care anymore because you're now in love. So the way to be smart about it is to get to know people over a long period of time without having a romantic or sexual relationship. So when you use an online site like Match.com or eHarmony, those sites can help you know people a little bit better before you even have the first date, thereby increasing your power. Knowledge is power. Okay, well, here's the second reason I think that online dating puts the odds in your favor. Having lots of choices makes you less desperate. So let's face it, if your dating strategy is to just kind of randomly meet someone as you move around through your life, hope somebody goes to work for your company that you're going to bump into one day, and hope that one of your friends has a single friend they can introduce you to, you know, hope is not a great strategy. But if that's your strategy, it's kind of random meetings as you go through life, here's the truth. You can go through a lot of disappointments before you find the right person. And it also, here's the big reason that that's not so great, is that it can take a long, long time, much, much longer. Literally, years can go by while you randomly hope to meet the right person. And why that is pretty obvious, because most busy single people just don't have the time to go out and really scour the landscape for other attractive singles on a frequent enough basis to have lots of choices. So if you use online dating wisely, you can have 1 to 3 dates every week with new people that you meet online. And a lot of them will be really viable. Not all, but a lot of them. But having all those choices helps you relax. It helps you just kind of be yourself and to feel less anxious. You know you've got 2 more dates ahead of you, so you don't have to get all worked up about the date that you're having today. You become more attractive because you're not needy, you're not desperate. And, of course, more attractive means more people want to date you, therefore giving you even more choices. It's just a positive upward spiral that inevitably leads to success. The more choices you have, the more you relax, the more you become attractive, and then the more choices. So that, in my mind, is going to greatly increase your odds of making a good connection. All right, here's the third reason I think the odds are in your favor when you date online. And that is that having more choices leads to better choices. The number one reason people choose the wrong dating partners is usually because they are feeling this way. Well, you know, it's been months or even years since I've dated someone seriously. And well, the person that I met was, well, they were good enough. I mean, it was a lot better than dating no one. But the fact that you haven't dated in a long time and you feel kind of lonely is not a good enough reason to date someone. Why? Because dating leads very quickly to attachment. Attachment leads to falling in love, and that leads to a long-term relationship. So when you bind yourself to someone who's not right for you out of loneliness or desperation because it's been so long, you've had such a long dry spell that you kind of latch on to the first warm body that comes along, the problem is it can take months or even years for you to detach and move on. Now you've wasted a lot more of your life. But when you date online, you have a lot more choices and you're far more likely to make a better choice. So, dating online, when you do it wisely, can really give you a lot of choices of very viable potential partners, making you less desperate and allowing you to be appropriately choosy. Now, does that guarantee a great marriage? Of course, it doesn't. There are no guarantees in life. But it definitely increases your odds. Now, having given you the entire upside of this whole deal, I have to acknowledge the reality that there are some problems with online dating. It's not a slam dunk. You know, the bad stories are everywhere. The con artists, the people who really, maybe they're not trying to be mean, but they just really misrepresent themselves. And then you have really socially awkward or backward people who hide behind the keyboard for as long as possible so you don't find them out. Well, how do you weed out all the people who are time wasters and get to the people who are ideal for you? How do you set up a profile that attracts the right kind of people? You know, if you set up your profile poorly, it can result in no one contacting you or in the wrong kind of people contacting you. How do you move online contact with someone to the real world. When is the right time to insist on a phone call or a face-to-face meeting? How do you handle those issues with people without driving them away? Is it okay to date someone who lives outside your geography, out of your immediate area? How far away can you date someone and have it still work out? How far apart can you be? When do you tackle the issue of long-distance dating, and how do you do it so you don't put yourself in harm's way by wasting years of your life dating someone who lives in another city only to have the whole thing crash and burn over, guess what, geography? And what about the people who reel you in and then all of a sudden put the brakes on? They put off meeting you. They suddenly become very unavailable. What about the ones who text you endlessly but never ask for a date? How do you handle these situations and so many other situations that come up when you date online? Well, I've had so many singles ask me all these questions and so many more of them about online dating that I put together a little book to help you out. You do have to date smart when you go online. You can't just randomly go out there, throw up any old kind of profile, and just sit back and wait for the magic. You have to be strategic. You have to be smart about it. And so I wrote a little book to help you do that. It's called Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. It's only 99 cents. You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can get it on BarnesandNoble.com and their Nook Books. I think you'll find it's an invaluable resource. If you haven't tried online dating, or if you tried and you weren't successful, read this little book and try again. I think you'll find it's an amazing and efficient tool to help you find a soulmate. Again, the book is Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. This is Nina Atwood. You're listening to Love Strategies. We'll be back with more after this message.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. We're talking today about online dating and how it can help you actually have a better marriage. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit and take a couple of questions that have come in from my listeners. This question is from Lori. She says, "Dear Nina, I just got out of an unhealthy relationship with a bad boy, and one of the many things that caused me anguish is that he was never able to make a time commitment with me for a date. He insisted that I call him after work, or he would call me when he felt like it, and we would just play it by ear. Usually we did get together, but I felt unsettled nearly every day, wondering if we would be getting together that evening. My situation now is that I've had 2 dates with a new guy. He seems like a good guy and appropriate for me in a way that bad boy was not. My dilemma is that although he seems attentive and interested. He's called me every evening since we met. He doesn't make time commitments either. Every evening so far, he has called and asked what I'm doing, then suggests we get together, thus indicating his interest. But I still feel myself going through that internal torment during the day, wondering if we're going to get to go out or not that evening. It's a brand new relationship, and I don't want to mess things up. So I'm wondering if I should just come out and ask him to be specific about the next date, or should I leave things the way they are and try to remain low-key about the whole thing. The problem is, it's messing with my psyche. And by the way, I have just come to realize that I am a serious love addict, so I don't trust my instincts, Lori. Well, Lori, you are correct to not trust your instincts. I can't imagine letting a guy get away with calling me the day of and then asking me out. So I don't advise you to allow someone to do that. It's a simple fix, but I think you're going to find it a bit difficult because I can tell that you're a pleaser extraordinaire, meaning that you lean far into the zone of keeping things peaceful and you don't like conflict. But you're in danger of becoming a doormat, which means that in the long run, you're going to end up pissed off and he won't really understand why because he's just been himself all along. Here's what I suggest you do to correct that before it becomes the kind of a problem that you can't back up from. All right, so the next time he calls and it's the day of and he asks what you're doing that night, you're going to do something a little different. Instead of answering the question, and if you don't have plans, you shouldn't lie. I'm not a believer in pretending you have plans. You're going to ask why. Just say why. Why'd you ask? And he's going to suggest you get together, and you're going to say, well, I'm glad you called because I need to tell you that it just doesn't work for me to make plans on the day of. I need at least 2 days' notice to put something in the calendar. So tonight doesn't work, but how about Saturday night? Pick a day, two or three days out and ask him about that. Now, we train people how to treat us, and you're training him to have no respect for your time and to be his last-minute girl. You can train him the opposite way by gently letting him know that you need to plan ahead. One of the benefits of that is it's one of the ways to determine a guy's ability to commit. If he can't plan ahead, by a couple of days, it's very unlikely that he's going to be able to commit to a future with you. So taking this corrective step will do one of two things. He'll either step up to the plate and go, oh, my gosh, you're right. I'm sorry. I should have called in advance. And, yeah, Saturday will be great. And so you'll roll on and he'll get the training and things will be better. Or he's going to tell you that he can't plan ahead, which is really just a bunch of fog, and in that fog, he's really just telling you he's not that into you, so in that case, you need to move on anyway. All right, I've got another question coming in. Let's see, who is this from? This is from Louise, and she says, Dear Nina, my question is, should I wait? I've been dating a guy for 5 months, and it's been mostly wonderful. We both ended long-term relationships 4 and 2 years ago. I guess that means her 4 years ago and him too. We've talked about having children in the near future, marriage and living together, holidays, all kinds of things. We seem to be on the same page, and I love that I could be myself, warts and all. And he's bright, but down to earth too. But we had a brief row about picking me up at the airport. I told him the time, he forgot, asked for confirmation by text, but my phone was off as I drained the battery. I was miffed he didn't pick me up. I just caught a taxi home. He was angry I'd wasted his work time as he works for himself and said he was hanging around waiting for me. The real issue is how he handled it. That's the issue. He wouldn't call me back. Said by text he was canceling our planned date, didn't want the small gift I gave him. Then I asked him what was wrong, and he told me that he wants to take a step back because of our communication issues, and he can't see marriage and children happening because of these issues. And my procrastination on doing up my house, painting the fence and walls that I said I wanted to do. He also said he won't move into my house that I bought a year ago. I can't even visit his house as it's not nice, and he lives with his granny. And he's also told me he can't afford his own house. Seems like a blocked path to me. The other communication issues are that sometimes I don't tell him what I'm up to in an evening just because I'm busy, and I don't text back within an hour, and that makes him worry. I always text back the same day what I was up to, bridge class or dinner with a girlfriend, but this doesn't seem right to me. I could understand if we lived together that he'd want to know, but it's only been 5 months. I don't understand why he gets so angry and why he worries. He also says he loves me, that I'm too good for him, that he wants to help me on the house. I do love him and really thought this was how our relationship was meant to be, happy, easy, loving, until now. Should I wait until he can afford a house together? Should I bail now if he has doubts? I'm hurting a lot over this. Well, Louise, the reason that I coach people to date for a considerable period of time before thinking about marriage is because of situations like this. It sounds like you two have moved past the early stage of a relationship, you know, where you're madly in love, crazy about each other, and you've zoomed right into the next stage, which is disillusionment. Now, the disillusionment stage is critical to finding out if you're compatible enough to share your lives together for the rest of your life. So far, you're not doing too well, and I agree with your boyfriend, communication is the issue, but unlike him, I don't think it's just you. I think it's both of you. It's the two of you. His anger is a red flag. I'm wondering if he's insecure and jealous. If so, that's a warning of worsening issues if you don't get it handled now. So, you know, only you can determine if there's enough good. Is this good enough to give it a chance? If you believe it is, here's what I recommend. First, wait until he contacts you the next time and ask you out. When he does, suggest a quiet dinner out. When you get there, let him know it's time for the two of you to talk over your relationship. Ask him where he is emotionally. I always suggest that you begin with asking rather than telling. So ask him where he is emotionally and then really listen. Make sure you fully understand. Just listen carefully. Ask clarifying questions. Be very gentle. Be very slow. And when you feel you don't understand, ask if he's open. Or when you feel that you do understand what he has shared so far, then ask if he's open to your point of view, and then share about your concerns. If you both are open and honest and have a lot of compassion, you may be able to either reset the relationship on the right track with a positive future or decide it's not meant to be and gracefully move on. And the key to making this work is be calm. Don't get into any drama. Don't take things personally. Listen more than you speak. And the idea is that you both get to air your concerns and negotiate your needs, not one person caving in to the other person. That's what I think is healthy. That's what good relationships are based on, lots of emotionally safe dialogue. Sounds like the two of you haven't practiced a lot of that, and it's time to do it. All right, well, I want to thank you for joining me on the show today, and I want to take a moment and give a very special acknowledgement to my wonderful, loving, and devoted husband, Mark. I hope you'll come back for more love strategies with me in the future.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.